This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Here's what's on deck for this episode.
All told, the bullpen was nothing short of stupendous. They didn't allow a run.
I don't think there's any other way to slice this. We are a team of great volatility at times.
Is Skubal, you know, showing signs of wear and tear?
We don't have a lot of turds on this team, if you know what I mean.
We have the Tigers playing another three-game set and the Tigers emerging victorious in 2 of 3 for that set against the nameless in city, but traditionally proud Athletics, currently residing in Sacramento, soon to be in Las Vegas. The Tigers took care of business 11-4 in game one, lost 3-0 in kind of a perplexing game two, and then really had a perfect game in game three, winning 8-0. All told, the bullpen was nothing short of stupendous. They didn't allow a run, and the bats certainly came alive. Anytime you can get 19 runs over a three-game set, that bodes well, given especially that one of those games you were shut out. Interestingly enough, Tarik Skubal allowed the most earned runs, 4 in game one, didn't have his best outing. And Jack Flaherty did get a quality start, where Skubal did not for game two, even though he lost 3-0 because the Tigers bats really couldn't do a whole lot. Basically, the bats were good outside of that game. That game was horrendous for the fact that outside of the 1-3 hitters, the 4-9 hitters, including pinch hitters, could do absolutely nothing. So, Chet, I have a couple questions for you off the top. It's the Tigers doing exactly what they thought they'd do, another series win. But my question to you is now, is bullpen the greatest priority? Do we need another starting pitcher, or do we need another solid bat in the lineup, or is the answer all the above?
Going with all the above. And I think it's, I don't think there's any other way to slice this. We are a team of great volatility at times. We either seem to score 8 to 10 runs or we score none. So I think there's some consistency with the offense that we have some issues with. There are certain guys like Gleyber Torres, and then lately Wensiel Perez to some degree, who are consistent with the bat. Riley Green has been very consistent of late with the bat. Torkelson, kind of sliding quite a bit, actually, of late, until he had his nice little game 3 home run. Colt Keith, sliding of late. Colt Keith's actually been worse over the last 7 games than Torkelson has, from an average standpoint. I think we need a little of everything. Problem is, if you look at all the teams that are in the market as buyers right now, they need the same things we need to one degree or another. There's going to be a ton of competition with some big checkbooks up top and some teams that have some pretty good farm systems out there that are going to have some stuff to offer up. I mean, we may see some overpaying for relief pitchers. We may see some overpaying for a number 5 starter. And who knows what the bats might bring, but
if the Tigers acquire a starter, I don't want a number 5. We have enough number 5s right now. I want someone further up the pecking order. And I know that's probably impossible or a long shot. It's not impossible. Nothing's impossible. But are we really willing to give up some of our deep farm talent for essentially a rental? And those that listen to the pod heard your excellent editing in my final thoughts after last weekend's series. When you're the major league leader in wins, you know, we're now exactly at the halfway point of the season. I think you put all your chips in. I'm not saying you mortgage the future. There's certain guys looking at you, Kevin M., that are untouchable, Max Clark. That being said, I wouldn't say that guys maybe 8 through 15 are not untouchable on our top prospect list. And that is going to weaken the depth. But you look at it, we have so many young guys up as well in terms of Meadows, Sweeney, Keith. Not that any are playing exceptionally well. I don't know. I guess where I'm going with this is I'm all in on it. Only for the fact that this might, you could field the same team next year and this might not happen again.
In the middle of game two, I started thinking this way. We don't have a lot of turds on this team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Everybody, the guys that are underperforming are still talented players.
Yes.
I mean, the Wenzel Perez's still have quite a bit of talent. I mean, we've seen it on display lately. Zach McKinstry, talented, versatile. Trey Sweeney, talented, young, but talented. Jermai Jones, talented, somewhat versatile. We don't have turds, which is great. You look at a team like, I don't know, the Sox, or you even look at this A's team is a tough one. They've got turds in their bullpen, okay? They got to clean the turds out of the bullpen. But their lineup's actually quite good. But you start looking at some of these other teams and you see, yeah, they got some guys that just got to get rid of. We don't really have anybody we have to get rid of. We have a stockpile of mediocrity with a couple players that are elevated well above that.
And Riley Green and Turk Skubal.
Yeah. And when it comes around time for the trade deadline, I don't want to just stack more mediocrity on. We don't need more mediocrity.
No, those are just guys.
They're just guys. We got enough guys. We need a couple game changers. And I just don't know if that's going to be available during the trade deadline. I don't know if it's going to be there.
I don't know either, but I do hope that one of the three is addressed. If nothing's addressed, that concerns me.
With a needle mover.
With one of the three with a needle mover, and I'm good. I do want to say a couple things. I think we talked about the positive. The bullpen did not allow an earned run or a run at any point. So even though we don't have swing and miss guys, we still, our bullpen, the Tigers bullpen, has the ability to get guys out in a variety of ways, whether it's ground outs, fly outs. And I do have to throw shade. I'm going to compliment the guy, then I'm going to throw shade. Congratulations, Gleyber Torres, for getting past the first hurdle in the All-Star voting. Same to you. Hey, Javier Baez. We've got Riley Green also making the first threshold. But the shade I wanted to throw is Gleyber is really, really bad defensively.
Well, just see, I think I know what you're referring to, which was what led to the three runs in game two or helped the three runs in game two. He had a very, I don't know if we'd call it lazy, sloppy, or just I'm fat and I can't bend over tag on Lawrence Butler that he just kind of missed. I mean,
he had time on that, too. Yeah. It wasn't a split
Lawrence,
second.
He had Lawrence by like a couple steps. Like it was weird.
A second plus to tag him and just missed.
It's like he's living off his bat and the fielding and the running the bases and that just seem a little choppy. He did have a pretty sweet play in the ninth inning yesterday to close out the game to field a ground ball and get it over to Torque. But it was like, we're up 8-0. Thanks for that. We needed it
before that.
Were.
Yeah. He had two double plays that he couldn't turn.
There's that. Yep.
And so I think a 1-year flyer on him is all we need to do. I don't need to extend him. I think Colt Keith should be, and deservedly so, the second baseman of the future going forward. Torque, to your Torque point earlier, his OPS the last 2 weeks has been abysmal, and he still can't hit both pitchers, meaning righties and lefties, with the same degree of excellence.
Yeah, he crushes the lefties, but the righties he struggles with, to the point where they're starting to talk about platooning he and Keith.
Yes.
Keith's not a platoon, and he shouldn't be either. So this is getting very, you know, and you start looking at our lineup, it's like, okay, you got a platoon Torque, you got a platoon Colt Keith, you got a platoon Kerry Jones,
Bonds.
You got a platoon Jermai Jones. How do we have any consistency in the lineup? It's kind of to the point where you're wondering, is it There are only two hitters that we can consistently leave in there against righty lefties. And Cole Keith's hit righties and lefties his whole career. Okay. I'm giving, like I said, we'll give him, he's shown some promise of late. I'd like to see him pick it up in the second half. At any rate, your point is well taken there. I mean, Torque needs to be able to hit from both sides.
And that's all we have to say. The other thing I was going to say on Torque, for our listeners, watch tonight and Chet, I want to know, have you noticed this? His swing looks different than it did in the first 6 weeks of the season when he was really hitting. It looks loopier.
He may be sliding back into bad habits, or he may be just, you know, it's, I don't know. I know he made a lot of changes in the offseason. He's kind of staying back a little more. I think that what we need to do, or what he needs to do, is, and hopefully the home run in game three was indicative of him realizing or making these adjustments. But, you know, these guys constantly have to go through adjustments. Like if you're a golfer, you get into a bad habit with a golf swing. And you have to get back to basics. He may have to just re-rack and get back to basics a little bit.
Another news and notes. Matt Gage, we barely got to know you. You've already been DFA'd, and that is that. I actually liked Matt Gage when he was in. I didn't love him. I didn't dislike him. I feel like literally I barely got to know him. It was like speed dating with the Tigers bullpen, and I guess he is, unless he goes unclaimed, he's out of our lives now forever. What is nice about that is that it did allow one Dietrich Enns, the pride and joy of Central Michigan University. I know your arch deep rival, Chet, so I won't even give it a go chips or fire up chips.
Hey, you know, it's a Michigan school.
Yep.
We'll give him that.
He is a 34-year-old, 6'1", 210-pound right-handed pitcher that has never given up on his dream. And it was awesome to see his brother in the stands, to see Daniela Bruce and Benetti and Andy Dirks just giving him the due diligence and respect that he deserves. I feel like his story is a screenplay, but I know it's already been made by Hollywood.
Probably. So, yeah, I mean, it's been done a couple times. But I was happy to see it either way.
It's just one of those, how about I change that? When this team wins the World Series and they do the Blu-ray or the Major League Baseball, you know, season.
You want a segment on Dietrich Enns?
Oh, I think it'd be such a good footnote.
Wouldn't that be good?
Such a good footnote. Yeah.
I just like the fact that we went through an entire series without having a bullpen starter. How's that?
I thought of you every start and how happy you must have been.
And it was not the fault of our pitching staff, starters or bullpen, that we lost game two.
No.
You only gave up 3 runs. I mean, one bad inning. We needed the bats. So we flip-flop it and we say the pitching, they performed this past series and we didn't have to have a goofy bullpen start. Maybe they're listening to us. I don't know.
Yeah.
Doubt it. Doubt it.
No, I'm pretty sure.
You know, AJ, that AJ's got the litter box on going, Chet says I've got to stop these bullpen starts.
I think he has.
That's the magic. That's the magic tip that he was looking for.
He pours himself a tall one or has a cold one post game when he's done talking to reporters at his desk. He turns on the litter box and he's like, you know, these guys are onto something.
These guys are onto something. Why aren't they here with me coaching? Yeah, I don't think that's it at all. But either way, our wishes were granted. We got through a whole series without a bullpen starter. If they need to use one for the Twin Series now, I'm not going to throw a temper tantrum because at least we didn't have to have one of the A's. One every two series isn't going to kill me. I'd like to see him get through the whole Twin Series without one now. Maybe we're starting a trend. I don't know. But I do know this. Jack Flaherty turned in a decent game. It wasn't incredible. It was better than what he did the prior game he pitched. So hopefully we can keep that going. I have a feeling he's just going to be somewhat inconsistent as the season goes along. And that's kind of who he
is. Yeah, I think who we're seeing is who he is. And I think that goes back to my point about an acquisition and your point as well. After Scooble, we have a bunch of 4s and 5s. We don't have a true 2 or even 3 starter. And that's what concerns me. But I just don't know what we'd have to give up to acquire something like that. What we need is, and these are all old names, so please disregard that. But what we'd need is like a Justin Verlander, even though he's not pitching extremely well this year, or a Max Scherzer, who's injured right now. But I'm thinking of someone that's literally on their last contract is probably about the best we can hope for that has postseason experience.
Well, I tell you, one of the names that's come up in the trade market recently, we faced him in game one, and I was not terribly impressed, as Luis Severino. I don't want. He strikes me as yet another four or five. I mean,
he's another
on a good staff. He's a four or five.
And he's making
a lot more than he needs to be making to pitch the way
money.
He does.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm not really into that.
No, but and then other people want Mason Miller, who's the A's closer. He's gonna cost you an arm and a leg, though.
Well, I've got a name for you.
Okay.
They just won four straight, so I believe they're gonna be sellers, but you never know with this squad. Mm-hmm. What about Sandy Alcantara?
Sandy Alcantara. You're thinking from the Marlins.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So he's Cy Young 2 years ago. TJ last year, I believe it was TJ, kept him out. He's returned. Maybe Sandy Alcantara, they say he's getting back to form. I mean, I do like the fact that he's had the Tommy John already. So that in this day and age, that's kind of a bonus if you can get a guy post-TJ. So I wouldn't mind that. I'd give him a shot. I think he's better than a four. Let's put it that way. He probably slots right now as a potential one on a team if he gets back to his Cy Young form, but easily a two or a three, right?
He's on a 5-year, $56 million contract. They signed him after the Cy Young year to that. So right, I love that deal then. I would take on the Tigers can afford that.
And that's a good idea to talk about later in the trade deadline stuff.
All right. I know you've got some thoughts for me before we move into a preview of the Twins series this weekend. So I'd love to hear yours. And if you've got any questions, let them fly.
A couple things that I wanted to kind of throw out. A, are you worried at all about Skubal after his last two starts?
No.
Irrational to think that, right? Like mocking a supermodel for having a pimple on her butt.
It'd be like criticizing Cindy Crawford for the mole.
Yeah, exactly.
You just can't do it.
I think he's probably fine. He's had two starts that have been less than dominant after his like incredible start a couple weeks ago where he turned in the Maddox. I'm fine with him. There's been people talking about, they're getting a little nervous about him. I think we got to calm down. Let him be him. People are going to go through these ebbs and flows. It's not going to be dominance every single game from a starting pitcher.
So let's talk about that.
And he's also had to pitch in the rain the last two starts. So it's not ideal.
Yeah. And his next start's going to be Sunday Night Baseball. Let's pray that there's no rain against the Twins. But there's a couple of things I want to talk about on this.
Go ahead.
Just because I have heard the same chatter you have, is Skubal, you know, showing signs of wear and tear? Is something wrong? What's going on with him? I'm just going to read you these numbers. Six innings pitched, six hits, four runs, all of them earned, only one walk, eight Ks, and two of the runs came on dingers. And this pitcher has a 2.29 ERA. That is Tarik Skubal, and that is the worst outing he's had since the Dodgers.
Anybody on our team throws that outing and we're going, that's fine, that's perfect, we'll take it. Four runs, a few many, but whatever.
So we're not a very divisive pod, but I am safe to say that I think we'd both draw a line in the sand that Tarik Skubal is going to be just fine.
I think he's going to be just fine.
What worries me about any pitcher that throws that hard and with that much velocity is injury. And I just pray that he's healthy because he deserves to play winning baseball as much as anybody on the squad does.
And we've covered that. I'm going to draw. I don't even want to give that anymore.
Well, can I give you one? One additional thought on this.
Okay.
Could just be a fever dream I had last night. I think that the money that, let's just say money's limited. It's finite, sure. Right? Chris Ilitch isn't going to just dump into this team like his pa did, you know, 2012-ish. What I'm going to say is this. Riley Green's where the money should go because I think he is a player you can build around for the next 12 years and beyond. I love Tarik Skubal. And if you could sign him to like what Alex Bregman did in Boston, like a series of 1-year deals that renew, even if you're paying more, I would pay him $50 million a year on or $60 million on a 1-year renewables.
Okay.
But the problem is he's going to be 30.
He's not going to command that. He's not going to need to do that.
No,
he's going to command a solid deal.
A seven-year deal.
He keeps this going. Yeah.
Yeah.
I,
And so that's my stance is now fully aligned with where you were earlier in the season. Pitch him as much as you can this season, next season, depending how it goes, trade him if you can get anything. If not, pitch him till the wheels fall off. Ironically, I did watch the 2016 Cubs World Series documentary, and it just kind of sparked in my mind when I saw John Lester pitching meaningful innings in relief. I can see Scooble doing something like that if totally. The Tigers go deep enough. All right, let's move on to the next topic.
All right, next topic. I want to talk about some injury news because it's a little uplifting, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, Rhys Olson, he's going to do a third. I think he's going to have a third AAA start here pretty soon. He's doing fine. He might come back this weekend or July 1st weekend, actually. July 1st weekend. So we should see him in this coming week, possibly if all else goes well, which everything shows that it should be going well. Vierling, they're bouncing him between outfield and third base, giving him a shot at both things, make sure the right shoulder inflammation can handle whatever those positions dictate that he needs. I don't know why they're delaying this so much. It seems kind of odd because he's been on a rehab assignment for a little while. And then Alex Lang tossed perfect inning of relief with two strikeouts to begin his rehab assignment at AAA on the 24th. So he's also pitched a few games at high A. So we may see Alex Lang back pretty soon in our bullpen, which I think we could really use at this point.
He is a swing and miss guy, and he is someone that, yes, I think would provide great benefit. I don't mean to be negative, but I'll believe Matt Vierling helping this team when Matt Vierling actually gets on the field and actually does something to help this team. At this point,
I threw that bait out there for you. I was like, I wonder why they're delaying this. So yeah, I wanted to see if you had anything to throw back.
I mean, it seems like there's a logjam between Jones, Wenzel Perez, McKinstry, Sweeney kind of occupying that third base shortstop when Javi's not playing at right field. And, you know, until Parker Green Meadows starts hitting, it's great the defense he plays back there, and his hits have been timely and well orchestrated when they do happen, but he needs to bat above 220 to be in this lineup on a day in, day out basis. Yeah. And so I know he didn't really get a spring training. I know we said we'd give him till July 4th, which is the start of the Guardians series. That's kind of my cutoff line at that point. And then I'm fine moving Javier, out to center field again and shuffling the deck with McKinstry at third. And then I guess you have to play Sweeney at short or make a move somewhere else there.
Yeah, I'm still going to give Meadows a little time. I'm still giving him a little time. I know it seems like I keep saying that. I said I'd give him till July 4th. I want to see what's going on till July 4th. I am a Parker Meadows fan, and he has had a couple at-bats lately that have shown some promise. He's gone the other way with some hits, trying to make contact. You can tell he's working at it. One last thing as far as just some updates here. Alex Cobb. So he's had an injection in the left hip, the one that was surgically repaired in 2023 to address some inflammation, which has delayed the rehab starts at AAA. He threw a bullpen session on the 24th. His quote was, "I still feel I'm going to pitch this year. I just wish it would be sooner." Great. Awesome.
Yeah. I read the exact same quote. I almost sent it to you and then he stopped.
May be the guy we just never see. I don't know.
He and Vierling this year could be the two missing in action, witness relocation type players.
So Bill, the Tigers got to 50 wins first. Their first one's 50 wins. Season is officially half over as of a day or two ago. We're at 82 games right now, meaning we have 80 left. They're at 51-31 going into this Twin Series. They have a run differential of plus 94. The only team in the AL Central that has a plus run differential, it is a very high run differential at plus 94. There isn't another team within 120 runs of them. Check that, 110 runs of them. Twins are minus 9 run differential. That's the closest run differential you have in the AL Central right now. The Royals are on another slide. They've lost 5 straight. Guardians can't seem to put it together. They're 9.5 games back in second place. Hey, we'll be very curious to see how we handle the Twins this weekend. Again, we make these predictions. How many games are we going to win? I want them to win a series. I want them to keep winning series. That's the key. You're going to drop a game in a series? Fine. Keep winning these series. What are your thoughts? Give me some Twins. What are we looking at?
Well, I'm going to open this with a question for you. Now, SGL is the projected starter for tonight's game.
Okay. Will he start?
Yes, that's my question to you. We know he's going to pitch 5, 6, 7 innings, you know, God willing. The question for you is he actually going to start, or is my guy, Tyler Holton, going to pop out there for an inning for no real reason or purpose?
I'm going to tell you right now, he's listed as a starter, okay? Typically, I have Tyler Holton on my fantasy team. When Tyler Holton is going to do one of these one-inning starts, I get a little news bulletin that basically says Tyler Holton is looking at being tonight's starter. That has not happened today.
Ooh.
So I think SGL is going to get the legit start, which is normal. This is more credence to the fact that maybe AJ's listening to us.
He is. I know he is. So you wanted my thoughts, and here they are.
Yeah,
now that you answered that quick question, I think we have a really good chance to win tonight. The Twins have been the second worst team since the start of June in all of MLB. On top of that, the Tigers, you talked about the run differential. There's only three teams that have a better run differential right now in Major League Baseball than the Tigers, and they all play in the National League. It's the Cubs, the Dodgers, and the Diamondbacks. And so I feel really good about this team. And
Hold, please. Correction. Dodgers have a plus 89 differential right now. They are below us. We're at a plus 94 as of yesterday.
I apologize, listeners.
As of yesterday.
Thank you to our crack
due
research
to our
team.
8-0 win, we leapt ahead of them a little bit.
So now we're 3 in Major League Baseball. The
and
Yankees.
We are, yes, we have the Yankees and Cubs ahead of us. Dodgers are right behind us now.
So okay.
They're 3, Dodgers are 4.
So I think they win either the SGL game or the Casey Mize game and or both. And that leads the Tigers into Sunday Night Baseball. Comerica's going to be rocking. It's not in, let's face it, ESPN typically puts on the same 6 teams on Sunday Night Baseball. It's either the Dodgers, Phillies, Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, and some combination, maybe the Astros and Rangers, but that's typically who they put on. They don't really like putting on the Midwest teams unless it's Cubs, Cardinals. And so I think Comerica is going to be rocking. I think Scooble's going to have a great performance. I would be disappointed if they don't win 2 out of 3. And I think the sweep's there because the Twins, as I mentioned last pod, are inconsistent. I cannot figure this team out. It seems like they have all the talent in the world, and when they're healthy, they play great. The problem is, A, they're never healthy, and B, they just don't often play that great. So that is my prediction. What's yours?
Well, I'm right in line with yours. I think we're going to take 2 out of 3 from this thing. I will say this. They're going to go up against a young guy named Festa tonight. So you got Festa against Long. Neither one of these pitchers are what you would call dominant. Festa can get some strikeouts. I think this game sets the tone in a lot of ways. The Mize game, he's faced Minnesota once already. It was in the middle of April. He went 5 2/3. He gave up 7 hits, 4 runs. He gave up 2 long balls and only struck out 3. I will be curious to see how he does at home in June. Against this team, the same team he faced in the middle of April. I think there's a lot of variables that are a little different there. April in Minnesota can be a little chilly. We'll see what we get. But he didn't pitch a terrible game. It was probably some rough conditions. So, and those two games, I think, are the big question marks because you're going to get Scooble Sunday and we assume we're going to get a win, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's a win. So possibly a sweep.
You can never expect it.
It's silly. It's a silly game we play here, trying to figure out how many games we're going to win in a series. But looking at this, I'd say we got the upper hand right now. We're at home. We're going to have an absolutely electric crowd on Sunday night.
We've been pretty accurate, though. The last two series we didn't like were the Reds and Rays, and
I know.
Sure enough. So.
We picked the Rays right, and we said we'd take 2 out of 3 from the A's.
And we picked the Guardians series correctly as well for not going well.
We're going back. That's pretty good. We're on a roll here, Bill.
All right. What else you got for me?
I have absolutely nothing else. I am done. I think we've covered everything. The A's series went as we expected. Now we're going to play a little interdivision, and I think we're expecting quite a bit out of the Tigers here, and rightfully so for this series.
All right.
All right.
Let's go, Tigers.
Let's go, Tigers.
We'll talk
to you
all.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you all post-Twin series.